Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. No Doubt continues now. This is indeed the broadcast for March 18th in the year of our Lord, 2016. This is hour 2 of 2. The goal is incredibly simple. That is to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. We back. We support the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. We believe the checks and balances put in place by our founding fathers, absolutely brilliant. That is the solution to the problems we face. We don't need a revolution, but a restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth, absolutely is our quest. You want to help us? We'd certainly love it. LibertyRoundtable.com. Before we get to our guest, Sheriff Richard Mack, Jim Tracy, Utah County Sheriff, dialing in. Ben McClintock was on the radio with us last hour, and Ben is very critical of HB 276. That is the bill put out by Mike Noel, and HB 276 would establish a division of land management within the Department of Wildlife or Natural Resources. And Ben McClintock's article, Ben McClintock, by the way, is a pen name. His article, Utah Legislator Moves to Remove the Power of the Sheriff. And the battle is about this bill that it smacks of Agenda 21. There's a lot of controversy among conservatives related to this bill. But one point that I brought up is the sheriff's letter where the sheriffs are in unison talking about this thing and saying they're okay with it. You know what? It doesn't erode the power of the sheriff. I personally believe that it does. We're going to sit down and talk about that. Mike Noel and others have agreed to do that. Nevertheless, Ben McClintock said, hey, you know what? We've checked with some of the sheriffs, and they're not really as caught up and on board as they make it sound. And Jim Tracy heard about this and wants to chime in. Hi, Jim.
How are you this morning?
Excellent, my friend. What do you say?
Well, as far as the issue, I don't know Mr. McClintock. I if that's a pen name, I don't know who this individual really is. But I'm at a disadvantage because I haven't heard the previous segment, so I'm not sure what was all said. But I've only talked to two people in the last week about this bill. Neither of them were anybody called Ben McClintock. I know the two people I talked to. But the issue on this bill doesn't change the status quo. And I have not talked to the governor personally about this to ask him to veto it. I've been reviewing it carefully, looking at the language. And again, Mr. Noel, as a representative, has been one of the staunchest supporters of the rights and continued authority of the sheriff that we've had in the state of Utah in the legislature. And he has been active in trying to preserve the office of sheriff and our authorities. And when I look at the language about what we see with the Division of Wildlife Resources, that's something that already is in statute under the title that they have the authority for game and fish.
Yeah, it's like Title 23 or whatever, right?
Yes, correct. And I'm at a little bit of a disadvantage because I don't have all my
text. It's okay. My contention on that is, though, you know what? We don't need some legislative guy designating a guy that works for the state to have an eked out portion of the sheriff's responsibilities. What we need is these guys to either one, work out of the sheriff's department, so the sheriff is his boss, and or two, you know, a lot of times there's like joint jurisdictions given, and the sheriff can issue some type of deputized document allowing this guy to work with coordination in his county with his permission. The point is there's a better way to do it, Sheriff Tracy.
Well, there may be. And like I said, as far as what I know about the bill and have seen on the bill, it's something that hasn't concerned me because we have concurrent jurisdiction in the county in all the areas, including in the cities, where, again, you know, we don't have primary jurisdiction in the cities because they have their police. So the statute, in those words, that it claims primary versus secondary or concurrent jurisdiction, those things and those carve-outs already exist within law. So as they become problematic, or if they become problematic, then we can look at how they're structured and see if there's a change that needs to be. But as everything that is currently put in this bill, it just is what has occurred and what has been occurring and has been the issue a division of authorities for, man, as long as I've been sheriff and as long as I've been a deputy sheriff.
Right. Now, Ben said last hour that you've kind of asked the governor to hold off on this thing till you can review it or whatever. Is that accurate?
No, I don't know who Ben is. As I say, I'm at a disadvantage here. I've talked to two people.
But have you asked the governor to hold off on this thing or anything?
No, I have not. I have not made a call to him based on the fact of what I've seen in the language. I was going to talk to Representative Noel, but I don't see, again, anything in there that isn't already something that has existed or does exist and has worked in our county. As far as working with whether it's the Highway Patrol or whether it's the Department of Wildlife Resources, these systems have worked for a long time. I have not been usurped in anything that I do. I can equally enforce those laws also, and I haven't had any issues where we've had somebody come and try to usurp my authority.
The problem in my mind is, whether we've had that happen or not, the stage is being set more and more and more for that battle to happen as they continually marginalize the sheriff and they say, well, we've got Highway Patrol here, we've got the Fish and Wildlife Czar there, we've got this and that. You know, sheriff, you got to just push paper, my friend. Or, you know what, we don't even need a sheriff. Or, you know what, let's just have police departments handle this. Or, and we see this all over the country. Back east, they're most notorious for it. But I think that's a critical idea. Richard Mack, you want to chime in on that? I think that we see the sheriff being railroaded quite often, really.
Well, far too often, and it's kind of sad that many sheriffs are not aware of their power and position and their responsibility, and that's why we formed the CSPOA, to make sure that that is clarified and that the sheriff is the ultimate authority in his county. And, you know, I haven't always agreed with the stands that the Utah Sheriff's Association has taken regarding those particular issues, but Utah sheriffs are the best in the country, and it has taken the curve has been going on for some time in order to, you know, and I talk about a graph, the curve is going towards the sheriffs now realizing that they have been duped over the past 50, 60 years in this country where the FBI and other federal agents supposedly have more authority in their counties than they do or in the state. And most sheriffs now are waking up that that is wrong. It's not true. And so I think on this entire situation, I already got an email from other people that this law would diminish the role of the sheriff in the state of Utah. I haven't read the entire bill yet, and it is, as Sheriff Tracy pointed out, it is a surprise that Mike Noel would be on the wrong side there. And so, you know, you kind of, as soon as you see a bill coming from Noel, you think that it is well-intentioned and well-written and its purpose is solid. But, you know, if Sheriff Tracy and other sheriffs have a problem with it, then I automatically do as well. But I know Sheriff Tracy knows what he's talking about, and I also know that Mike Noel, if you point out to him something wrong with it, I'm sure that he could change it or back off or whatever, because I know he doesn't want to diminish the role of the sheriff in any way. In fact, he wants to strengthen it. His own son is a sheriff. And so we've got some work to do on this, and I think if the sheriffs are working with Sheriff Noel or working with Mike Noel on this, that I'm sure they'll get it taken care of.
So, Sheriff Jim Tracy, Mike Noel, who's a Utah legislator, sponsor or author of this bill, and Cameron Noel and many other sheriffs and many other legislators and hopefully somebody from the governor's office and myself and many others are going to sit down about this to see if we can't work on the wording to satisfy everybody. And Mike has been graciously willing to do that, and I think we got to take advantage of that offer to sit down and talk about it and work on it, and we're hoping you'll attend that as well. We'll get back with you on that, but I think that's where we really find the genius of America, personally.
Well, I would agree, and he has never not been willing to sit down and to talk about any of these issues. Again, let me go down a slightly different road, Sam.
One sure, please.
That would help strengthen the office of sheriff in Utah is to make it a constitutional office. And I have talked to Sheriff Mack about this.
When you say constitutionally, you mean state constitutional office.
That's correct. Okay. An office that's defined under the state constitution. Right now, we are an animal of the legislature. We are not defined as an office under the state constitution. My titles and authorities and responsibilities come under the Utah Code Annotated, Title 17, Chapter 22. We encourage anybody to read that. But those limitations and those authorities could be changed any day by the legislature, and I could have them added to or taken away.
All right, can you stay there for 1 second? I got a quick break, but I'll give you a chance to finish up on this, then we'll let you fly. Stay there. We'll come out to the break. We'll finish up on this, let Richard Mack respond, et cetera, and we'll let you fly at the 30 break. Okay, hang tight, everybody. Liberty Roundtable Live on your favorite talk station. Are you familiar with the term vigor? Strength in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example? Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kirk Crosby. All right? And he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him. And believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test available now. Get a hold of Kirk Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com or 801-669-2211. Vigor test free, scientifically proven today.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Liberty Roundtable, well known for focusing on solutions to problems, bringing people together and making a difference. The question is, how do we find a way forward with real-world solutions? That's what we're talking about now. Sheriff Jim Tracy, Utah County Sheriff, Utah on the line. Richard Mack, former sheriff, on the line. And Sheriff Jim Tracy was just saying, if we want to strengthen the office of sheriff within the state of Utah, one of the things that could be done is, you know what? Make the office constitutional rather than leave it to vague ideas or you know, just regs and stuff like that. It'd be better to define the office and define a real scope. Part of the reason that has not been done, Sheriff Tracy, is it was just given that the sheriff was in charge when it came to law enforcement, and there really wasn't any debate about that when this beautiful nation started. But then as we continue to go, they encroach, encroach, debate, encroach, encroach, encroach. And now the question of and the value of and the legitimacy of the sheriff is always debated and in question, whereas it never was before. Richard Mack, you want to quickly respond to that, and then we'll let the sheriff finish up.
Yeah, that's true, Sam. And I don't think any other law enforcement entity or officer or chief of police has any stronger position, though, than the sheriff. And the sheriff's history goes way back that I believe does strengthen the position. And even in some states where the office of sheriff is in the Constitution, they have diminished the role of the sheriff. So that is specifically Delaware. And so I'm not sure how much weight that carries because the courts still are deciding and other entities are still deciding. And I believe that the state legislature wouldn't in Utah would never touch the office of sheriff, although I agree with Sheriff Tracy. It would be nice if it was in the Constitution, which makes manipulation of the office a little bit more difficult. But I believe also that the sheriffs themselves need to strengthen their own position.
Well, and that's kind of the point that I would make is, you know, they say that if you don't know your rights and if you don't take the time to defend them, you won't have any. Sheriff Tracy, that's kind of the thought from our point of view is these sheriffs, as they stand up, really hold the line and define who they are and what they stand for. And it was a given that the sheriff literally was the law.
Yeah, I understand that. I understand that point. And I think that's, you know, something that we agree with, and I know I agree with, but the issue is when we make the argument against an activist court or against a rampant legislature that wants to redefine our authorities and our responsibilities, to have that codified in the Constitution gives us a better legal argument when we have to have that argument. And that was my point, is that we can come up and say, we want to do this, we should be doing that. And then we have these individuals, and I've had this happen to me, say, it's not defined anywhere under your legislative duties. So it weakens our position and our argument to not have that backing of being in the Constitution. That was my point.
Yeah, and I think it's a valid point as we debate this because, you know what, the courts rarely recognize anything that doesn't have a definition, doesn't have a scope, if you will. And that's kind of a legal language to say that they don't even know what to do when there's no definitions or scope defined. And I mean, the whole courts don't even know how to handle that, Sheriff Tracy. Your point's well taken.
No, that's correct. And as Sheriff Mack said, I mean, back east there are sheriffs now that aren't even elected. They're just appointed. They took away that election effort to be a people's spokesman, that closest nexus to the people by electing the sheriff. So now they're even appointed in some states back east. So it's an issue that is being eroded, and that's why that argument will have to be made more and more in the future.
All right, the debate becomes then, if we're going to define the scope of and lay out what the sheriff's duties or responsibilities are, then, you know, I would start by saying, all right, is the sheriff part of the executive branch?
Well, currently, that's the way it's set up. That's correct.
All right, and so if it's a legislative position, then I would say, hey, this executor elected by the people has complete, absolute jurisdictional authority when it comes to peacekeeping, law enforcement, whatever term you want to use. He has an obligation to stand in that capacity against all laws broken. And with that, then you would say that, hey, you're going to have to change Title 23 to say that the wildlife czar would work under the sheriff. He may have jurisdictional permission that could be granted and taken away based on the behavior of these officials. But you're going to have to give the sheriff scope. And I'm afraid in the defining of a sheriff, if you're not very careful, you're going to get all kinds of ne'er-do-wells in there that would simply limit the scope right from the get-go. Sheriff Mack, respond to that, and then Jim Tracy.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm afraid of, too. And I'm really worried that the sheriffs across this country are already too hesitant to take those stands. And I believe that we should just be doing it. And regardless of what the state constitutions say, there's so many people losing so much. And the reason that this has happened with Mr. Noel and other legislators, that they're actually trying to strengthen the states and get the feds out of stealing more land and doing more things to ranchers and farmers that they've been doing all across this country, and including Oregon. But this is happening in New Mexico. We just had a big meeting with ranchers and farmers there, and the ranching industry has been being destroyed by our own federal government, and so is farming. If you looked at how many farms have been thrown out of business and destroyed by our own federal government.
It is astounding. I want Sheriff Tracy to respond before the break happens, because I know he's got to fly. He's traveling a little bit and stuff like that. Sheriff Tracy, what do you say about that? I mean, at some point, the sheriffs have just got to stand up and stop these abuses. And you know what? What we don't want to do is diminish their authority. They already have the authority, but many of them don't even realize it and or are too hesitant to do their part.
I would agree. I mean, there are many times when I think there is a very huge lack of understanding by sheriffs of what they do and don't have authority to already do. My point would be that as we try to strengthen that office, it will give them the understanding as they're educated towards what they should be doing to have that legal backing, that definition, as you talked about, so that they can accurately and more readily fight the courts and legislatures.
One line I'd put in there is to shut down the IRS would be a part of their responsibilities. From coming into counties without proper paperwork in order and just running roughshod over the people, there's a real point to be made there, too.
Well, I'd like to see the IRS go completely. There's no debate in my mind about that at all.
All right, Ben McClintock last hour said that he was willing to sit down and meet with you about some of these things. Are you willing to sit down with us?
Yeah, I'm willing to sit down with anybody, and you have my numbers. If you would get me the information on the Noel meeting, I'd be glad to be there, too. That's the way forward, is to communicate. That's the way forward, is to coordinate.
Amen to that, Sheriff. I appreciate you dialing in. I know you've been kind of busy, but you wanted to have an opportunity to respond to that. So there you go. Thank you, sir. Any final comments?
No, thank you for your time, and thank you, Sheriff Mack, for being there, too.
There you go. Sheriff Richard Mack with us, ladies and gentlemen. Sheriff Mack, we're actually getting a lot of stuff happening in the state of Utah. And, you know, the battle's on. LaVoie Finnegan was from Utah. A lot of people believe a huge bunch of mistakes were made in Oregon. I'm one of them. And what we're trying to do is make sure those kind of mistakes don't happen in Utah. We don't need the FBI running around, pretending they're patriots, tracking people, intimidating people. We don't need dead people. We don't need people that are political prisoners from our state. There's got to be a better way, sir.
Well, there does, and Oregon, it really epitomizes a great deal of what we're talking about today, and sheriffs that do not know and understand their position was really made very clear in Burns, Oregon, because Harney County Sheriff Ward did nothing to stop the injustice that was being done there, and this whole thing would have been avoided, and LaVoie Finnegan would have been would still be alive if the sheriff there had simply done his job. And this is a sheriff that I spoke with several times who just bowed up, and, you know, he was going to stay mainstream, and he was not going to buck the system. He was not going to stand up to the federal government. And he could have done something really simple, and what I suggested to him is that he'd simply arrest Dwight and Steve Hammond and keep him in his custody and under his control.
All right, hang tight. We'll talk about it more. Sheriff Richard Mack, our guest, ladies and gentlemen, CSPOA.org. Donate and get involved today.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, back with the live Sheriff Richard Mack with me, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about all things relating to the proper role of limited government, the value of the sheriff. We're talking about solutions and finding a way forward with real-world ideas. There's a guy by the name of Scotty Willingham. I don't know if you know who he is, but he was manning the gate at the wildlife refuge for Ammon Bundy and crew. And I guess this guy is the guy that helped yank down those video cameras that were, it was well known they yanked down the cameras. They were hooping and hollering and going, yeah, let's stop the government from spying. Turns out those cameras weren't just your average spy cameras. They were literally what are called SCADA cameras, which means that they're specifically designed to keep the power grid safe and everything. It's not just something as simple as you think. It's a federal felony to take those things down. Anyway, I got a weird story for you, Sheriff Mack, that I want you to respond to. Somehow this guy didn't get arrested with everybody else, and he's been running around. And he was running around, and all of a sudden he winds up in Grand County, Oregon, which the sheriff there is a good friend of ours, Glenn Palmer. And Glenn Palmer is the sheriff that supposedly Ammon Bundy and Lavoie Finicum and others were going to see when the siege happened. Well, what's fascinating is Glenn Palmer says, look, I never had a meeting set up with them. They claim they were coming to see me, but they were going to a meeting, but I never said that I'd visit with them or anything else. And so the mainstream press not getting the story right, according to Glenn Palmer. Anyway, the reason I tell you the story about the Scott Willingham guy is because Scott showed up in Grant County, Oregon, in Glenn Palmer's jurisdiction and started to rage and cause trouble and threaten to kill a bunch of people. And so the bottom line is Glenn Palmer and crew had to arrest this guy because he threatened to shoot everybody and stuff like that. And I'm wondering if that's just a big old plant to drag Glenn Palmer into this thing.
Well, it could be, but, you know, if somebody did that in my county, that's the same action that I would take.
Of course it is. You can't, come on.
But you see, this is kind of goes back to the idiocy that you and I have been talking about. Some of these people in the freedom movement, or supposedly in the freedom movement, or these provocateurs. Scott, I don't know who he is, but the problem with all of this is you get a couple of people who start going off the deep end with threats and violence, which you and I have never advocated. And I don't believe that Ammon and Ryan Bundy or any of the Bundys advocated violence at any time. And tearing down those cameras was really another ill-conceived idea. And going into Grant County and starting to threaten people is really stupid. And it's a criminal problem. You know, the sheriff has an obligation to keep the peace. And people who are threatening to kill other people are definitely a violation of that law and of that principle. So here again, we have example after example. Every single time that we have a freedom push in our country, just like at Bunkerville, Nevada, 2 years ago, there's always people who show up that really want to go over the top and start threatening and start fighting. And instead of just remembering the people who this is about, originally this is about the Hammonds. This is about land rights. It's not about threatening to kill people. This is about a peaceful, effective, humble, strong, and powerful stand for freedom. It is not a call to arms. And the people who continuously bring that equation into the entire movement are so counterproductive that it takes us years to make up for some of these idiotic mistakes that some of these idiots do. And, you know, I'm sorry to use such strong language, but, Sam, I have lost all my patience with the people who continuously do this.
Well, here's the problem. You know what? A lot of people do this, but a lot of people don't do it on purpose. I'll give you an example. I'm in the media, okay? And the headline from all the mainstream press says, Oregon standoff figure Scotty Willingham arrested after threatening to shoot federal officers, the DA says. Well, what do you say? Is he really a standoff figure? I'm not sure that there was really a standoff. Ammon and those guys were running around freely. People were invited in for soup. That's not a standoff. But what do you call the thing?
You can call it a criminal trespass. And
then Ammon would say, no way. The sign said welcome, and I went in just like everybody else.
Yeah, but that's baloney. You know, if a building is closed, the welcome mat does not necessarily say that you can just come on in.
But if the door's unlocked, and it was common knowledge for well over 30 years that you just peacefully go in there if you need warmth and everything else, it was left unlocked with a full knowledge that that was the precedent.
Yeah, but that makes it sound like it's a homeless shelter or something, you know. That's not the purpose of the building. And, you know, but still at the same time, as innocuous as a criminal trespass is, that's still a very mundane, innocuous charge. I mean, that's right above, maybe right in the same line as a petty larceny or petty shoplifting. And that would be all it is. In fact, you would pay a fine, you would get no time in jail, and they would put you on probation for probably a year. So this whole thing has been really blown out of proportion, and the one thing that bothers me about Oregon right now and the situation between Sheriff Ward of Harney County, which is Burns, and Sheriff Palmer of Grant County, which is right next door in a neighboring county, is plain and simply now they're going after some sort of criminal investigation with 8 or 9 different complaints against Sheriff Palmer. And yet they are going after Sheriff Ward on nothing. And yet, do you know the biggest complaint about Sheriff Palmer in all of this criminal investigation is that he met with the occupiers? So did Sheriff Ward, and at least 3 different times.
Well, and Glenn Palmer would say, I didn't really meet with him. I had a couple of texts where they wanted me to meet with him. I did meet with a couple of people early on that wasn't even Ammon Bundy, wasn't even really as much the leadership, and this idea that I met with them as if I was going to circumvent or do anything else is just bogus.
I know. And yet Sheriff Ward did intentionally meet with them, did shake hands with Ammon Bundy, and did nothing to bring them to justice. If he believed they had committed a crime, whether it was federal or state or local, he should have simply said, come with me, you're in my custody, I'm placing you under arrest, and I'm turning you over to the proper authorities. That's all he had to do. He didn't. And yet Sheriff Palmer, whose jurisdiction none of this occurred in, is the one being investigated. And I'm telling you right now, I would love to testify on his behalf on that issue right now. Tell him to talk to me right now. Tell the investigators, I'm ready to discuss that with you right now. And if you don't investigate Sheriff Ward, then you're going to be accused of selective prosecution, and every bit of what you're doing is going to come back to haunt you. Because this is so ridiculous and so obviously and blatantly aimed at the constitutional sheriff instead of the sheriff that goes along to get along, who did 10 times worse than Sheriff Palmer did. And in fact, Sheriff Palmer did nothing wrong. And this idiotic dispatcher who says, oh, I think he's a security risk. She should be investigated and say, tell us what evidence you have that says he's a security risk. You're just listening to politics. Everybody involved in this within the Grant County area have run against Sheriff Palmer or are running against him this year.
Now, the interesting thing about this, too, is the headline says Oregon Justice Department opens investigation of Grant County Sheriff Glenn Palmer. Now, what is an Oregon Justice Department? Now, let me tell you why I asked that question. Because as far as I understand, it was the other sheriff down in Harnett County who basically found out that the FBI was posing as militia or posing as insurgents, terrorists, whatever you want to call it, and intimidating the people, and that was discovered by the fire marshal who quit over it, who resigned over it. When did people start getting arrested by the sheriff, and where's that investigation going?
Yeah, I'm sure that Sheriff Palmer will be bringing all that up, but this has got more evidence of how backwards our entire system is. If you're a tyrant within the government and you commit all these heinous acts within government, you're going to get a free ride. But if you stand for the Constitution, stand for what's right, and you have this humble power about you like Sheriff Palmer does, then they're going to go after you. And I find that, again, a reinforcement of what we're trying to do at the CSPOA. And obviously, what we are doing there is having a huge impact across the country.
By the way, it's Sheriff Dave Ward that has a dead person in his county. It's Sheriff Dave Ward that had a lot of these shenanigans going on in his county. Glenn Palmer basically had nothing to do with any of it, sir.
That is correct.
All right, quick pause. Sam and Mac back in seconds. CSPOA.org. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, huh?
Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like the green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2's skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together.
The
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here is what people are saying.
A year ago, I was realizing that I was in serious problems with my heart. You know, I had these chest pains and so on. I realized that I had to do something and quick. I didn't want to go the medical route. So I started in doing some investigating, and somebody told me about these heart drops. I got on the heart drops prescribed dosage. Within 2 weeks, I immediately started seeing the results. This is working. I'm going to stick with it. I can't deny the fact that when I got on the heart drops initially, there was immediate help, an immediate turnaround.
To get your Extendovite, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
By the way, another little quick tidbit in the news. John Ritzheimer, well-known leader in the Bundy deal in Oregon. John Ritzheimer is allowed to return to Arizona under, quote, home detention. You got Mark McConnell that's basically running around free. Many people now say he was the FBI informant that sold the Patriots down the river. Now Ritzheimer basically goes free. He was one of the most ardent agitators. Some of these people were violent, Sheriff. Ritzheimer demonstrated a lot of violence. Scotty Willingham now threatening to shoot a bunch of people. He's demonstrating violence. Ammon and crew, though, political prisoners behind bars, not a chance to get released, they say. But yet they haven't been violent at all. It's interesting. Almost the more violent you are, the easier you go free, sir.
Yeah, the inconsistency with that has been another obvious problem with all of this. It makes you kind of wonder. But, you know, it's also very likely that these people are not provocateurs or paid by the government to be in there. What they are is they're offering them deals to testify. And it appears that some of them might be taking it. I don't want to make any accusations about that, but it's really not an accusation. It's just part of the process. That will happen. And the other thing I knew would happen is that they would find ways to stack charges. And that's another thing that government does routinely in such cases, so that they can force them into a position of taking their plea bargain. Because it's already come out, they could spend 99 years in jail for these new charges that they've dreamed up, that they have so creatively brought to light and have put in the press, so that the families, the wives and family members will be saying, oh, you got to take that plea bargain. And I really don't believe that the Bundys will be taking any plea bargain, if I know the Bundys like I know the Bundys. So this is all part of the subterfuge of government. It's all part of the corrupt process that's been there for a long time. And this is their way of coercing people into subjecting themselves to the whims of the prosecutors and investigators. And that's a big concern that I have. In all of this, and especially if you know and understand the meekness of and humility of one Ammon Bundy, you know that he did not have any intent to hurt anybody on this entire situation, which I know he did not. And I would testify on his behalf in any court of law. You know, it's obvious that I did not approve of this tactic, and you and I have talked about that lots of times. However, I do know that Ammon Bundy is a good man.
And however, just because he did something that we disagree with, that doesn't mean that it's criminal to go to jail for life.
No, of course.
Now, this is the ridiculous point the government's making. Now, here's what's fascinating, though. You know what? Cops have been violent and aggressive for far too long. We've talked about that as well. And we find ourselves in a very difficult balance. We want to defend the police when they do what's right, but we also want to have accountability when they do what's wrong. There's a fine line there is the point. Well, there's a new news article out today that says this, and I want to pick your brain on it, Sheriff. It seems unrelated, but it actually is related, and it says this. An increasing number of cops are buying liability insurance. Amid increasing scrutiny and rising public concern over misconduct and abuse by the police, more police officers are buying personal liability insurance.
Yeah.
Reports the Fraternal Order of Police. Anyway, they go on with the details, but I'm just saying, you get this situation where, man, the wheels are coming off of the checks and balances in America. If we had the sheriff's departments rather than appointed police chiefs and this kind of stuff, if we had different training about the constitutionality and the proper role of a law officer, a peace officer, if we had the ability to train them to de-escalate and to be peace officers as opposed to law enforcement, you better do what I say, get on the ground now, ideas, we might be in a different scenario, Sheriff. And that's the whole reason I bring this up is, man, you can either get insurance or you can get training from the CSPOA.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of truth to that. And we do train peace officers across this country how to conduct themselves as true guards of the Constitution and true servants of the people. And with that, I believe that we would change a lot of attitudes about police, that they would not need to go for this liability insurance, which most departments already have. But I guess they're doing more on a personal nature. I think that's a sign of the times. Don't conduct yourself in a proper manner. Just get more liability insurance. And I find that very concerning. And the police officers or peace officers of this country seem to be going way far away from the principles on which their jobs were based. And instead of adhering to those principles, they're just going to buy more insurance. And I find that astonishing, and I also find it very mainstream. And showing how much work we have to do at the CSPOA and also showing how vital our work is. And here we are trying to convince these people that you can do your jobs and still follow the Constitution. And that's our message. Plain and simply, we're going to put liberty first. And to have a police officer change his mind and to make that paradigm shift in his own mentality and his own thinking process, that's what we are about. And that's why the funding for the CSPOA is so vital. And what we're doing, and I'm going to tell everybody, if we were funded, I believe that we would already have this under control. I believe that we would have the sheriffs drawing their own line. Yes, I am going to be a constitutional sheriff, and it's going to be obvious that they are. Or no, I'm going to side with the tyrants. And isn't it amazing that way back in 1775, 76, that Thomas Paine wrote in the American Crisis that the king had an army to enforce his tyranny? That is exactly what's happened to America today. We've come full circle. All we have is about 850,000 law enforcement officers and agents of the federal government who are simply there as enforcers of tyranny from Washington, D.C. And I find it so amazing how many times history just keeps repeating itself because we failed to learn from the mistakes of the past.
Well, you know, we talk about this headline now, Stalkers in Uniform. What you have is you have law enforcement officials tapping databases to find out about citizens. You have government officials and police departments and, all kinds of organizations now tapping government databases and finding out about people. And we're basically creating stalkers in uniform, sir.
Yes, and they're almost proud to do it. And there's always law enforcement chipping at the lines of the Constitution, always wanting more power. And it's almost invariably done by our Supreme Court, always giving more power to the police instead of protecting the liberty of the people. And we're seeing that daily. And now the reason why we have this big fight between Apple and the federal government is plain and simply because Apple is now having to be in charge of protecting that which the government should have already been protecting. And I'm not really taking sides on that issue. I'm just simply saying Apple is doing what the government should have done, a long time ago, and that is to protect the privacy and constitutional rights of the people.
And the government's doing exactly the opposite.
Of course.
Now, there's also a headline that says classification protects foreign diplomats accused of violent crimes. Now you've got one, they're spying on every one of us, violating our privacy, but they're literally protecting diplomats. It's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. The whole thing is really crazy, and it's so one-sided against the people and against the accused. And, I had a good constitutional sheriff call me about a week ago, and he says, well, are they coming after us next? And I said, well,
yes, sir.
I guess they could be, it's got so many people concerned because they seem to be, the federal government especially, seems to be going after everybody for political reasons instead of legitimate accusations or lawful accusations. So I've been texted and called and emailed quite a bit that, well, are you next? I've had friends just call me from all over the country. Well, are you next?
Well, whenever we go off the radio, for some reason, we have a technical problem. Someone says, I knew the IRS would get you.
Yeah.
So you're right about that point. Last quick headline, police officer killed in friendly fire incident. Sheriff, part of the problem is, you know what? We do need gun control, sir. We need to have less government bureaucrats with guns. And those who do have them need to be a whole lot less trigger happy, sir.
Yeah, they do. And I saw that. I believe that was in Maryland, wasn't it?
Yes, sir.
Somewhere in Maryland. And, I just about every time, including the shooting of Lavoy Finicum, these officers are trained not to be in crossfire, and yet they were at that scene. If you look at it, you'll see that they most definitely were in a crossfire situation where they were, if they had missed Mr. Finicum, they would have been shooting each other. And so they're supposed to be trained not to do that, but we see them violating training all the time.
Well, we need more training from the CSPOA. We need more involvement from the American citizen and the CSPOA. We can make a difference, ladies and gentlemen. The goal is to protect life, liberty, and property and to promote God, family, and country everywhere we go. Sheriff, where are you going next?
That'll be next weekend. I go back to Prineville, Oregon, and Burns, Oregon.
All right, sir. Godspeed. Travel safe. We'll chat soon.
Thanks much.
CSPOA.org. Sheriff Richard Mack, our guest. Hopefully it was an educational and entertaining broadcast. For Sam and Kurt, LibertyRoundtable.com, LibertyNewsRadio.com, this nation shall endure.